The New Testament reading is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and he broke it. And when he gave thanks, he said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and after supper said, "This is the cup of my new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us." This is World Communion Sunday, when Christians of every country of the world, from New Zealand to Idaho to Hawaii, and every denomination, be it Episcopal or Baptist or Congregational, celebrate the Lord's Supper. Despite our differences of race and notwithstanding our theological disagreements, regardless of our economic status, no matter our social standing, aside from even our political persuasion and opinions, we gather at the same table and eat the meal. In a world where hospitality is in short supply, where the suspicion of strangers is rampant, and where families and friends even don't have time to sit down at a table and eat, we gather today to find time here in a corporate meal in a picture of true hospitality. And the biblical word for hospitality is amazing, for in that word, it means the table is for strangers, for guests, and for hosts. See, the Greek word for hospitality is two words. I'm going to try it once because my Greek is awful. Philia xenia. That's as good as we're going to get. The first word means love, like Philadelphia. And the second word means host. But it also has another meaning. It means guest. And that's not all. It means stranger or immigrant. So it really can mean hospitality, love of the stranger. And it's all the same word, stranger, host, and guest. And that one word signals the essential mutuality that is at the heart of hospitality. It's a communion of the stranger, of the guest, of the host. And at this Lord's table, we gather. And we discover something about what hospitality can mean for us, for our church, and for the world. In the text, we talk about, that you read, about the stranger means the one who is far off being brought near. And I wonder if you caught in that, they were assuming that the ones that were far off were the ones he was talking to. And also, the near ones will meet at the same table. And the idea of the other, of being kind to the stranger or the immigrant or the alien, is common in the story of the Hebrew people, which is our story. The Israelites were slaves once in Egypt, and in the Exodus, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. They were a refugee people. We were a refugee people. And still, once they had found their way home, they were again forced into captivity, and they had to go far away from their land. They became immigrants once again. And what that did to the people of God is they were forced by God, hinted by God, that they were supposed to be just and compassionate to the refugees, the strangers among them. God said to Moses, "You shall also love the stranger, for you were once strangers in Egypt. Just as God protected you when you were wandering, when you were refugees, God insists on proper care of immigrants now." And God judged Israel harshly when they were not kind to the stranger, to the immigrant, to the alien in their midst. For God's people, hospitality should just flow out of gratitude to God and also from their own painful memories of what it is like to be a refugee. And so we recognize that this table is a table for strangers. And we recognize that often we find ourselves as aliens in need of God's hospitality and God's welcome. When we gather at this table, when we walk up to take communion, we may know some of the people, but there's many we do not know well, or we do not know at all. But we have a common bond with them. We are all guests at God's table. And I wonder if you've ever been invited to some kind of dinner party or some kind of special event, and you realize, well, and you're the stranger, and then you realize no one at all knows anyone else. You're all in the same boat. And the thing that brings you together is you've been invited, and you know the host, or maybe you're longing to know the host. But we sit at this table as guests. And there is something in the power of sharing a meal together, one like this, or a not-so-formal meal. This week, well, you know I'm now the chair of the board of the Interfaith Council. And it's, you know, oh, so glamorous, you can imagine. I'm now on a subcommittee, we don't call them that, but that's what they mean, to put together a retreat for the board members. Because when we've gotten to some difficult topics between the members, because we have Jews, Christians, Muslims, Baha'i, every group, we start not talking together well. And one of the places we've gotten in trouble when we've talked about Palestinian-Israel issues, because we have a Palestinian Christian, and we have rabbis and lay people, and it gets tough. So we decided we had to, as a group, get together, have a retreat, and figure out how to do this. Well, guess what? It's about a year and a half, and we haven't done anything, because it's hard. It's hard enough to name it. We're all kind of thinking if we don't talk about it, we'll go away. It hasn't worked so well. So finally, the subcommittee got together again. And it's Farah, who is Muslim, and Sally, who's a Buddhist, and me. And we decided we'd get together, but we would have a meal. We'd come to Old First, and we'd all bring some food. So last Thursday, we came. Farah, she made her own hummus. I mean, she reconstituted the chickpeas, she cooked them, she added beautiful things to them, and made her own pita chips. Really? And then talked about how the oil was on the top, but you were supposed to dig down with the chip and let the oil get everywhere. And then Sally, the Buddhist, who's a vegan, she brought spaghetti with sauce with, I would have thought there was meat on it. It was so good. And she brought truffles, because those can be vegan, and they were fabulous. And I brought a green salad, some from the farmer's market. The tomatoes were from a gift from Welcome Ministry. The sprouts came from the senior center. And we sat down, and we ate this feast. And we started talking to each other. We hadn't talked. I think Sally had never said one word in a board meeting. But when you got food, it was great. So we decided we had to eat together, the whole group, that when we sat together, we started to know each other, and we actually got some planning done. And then we split up our leftovers, and everyone got to take something home. See, I think there's something when we sit together at a feast and when we plan to share. Like this weekend, when I spent 2 days at Strictly Hardly Bluegrass, And I said, I'm going to work on the sermon. So I brought a small watermelon one day and peaches the other day, and I cut them up and I handed them to the people around me. And you know what? We were kinder to each other. And when the thousands of people started getting closer and closer and space got tighter and tighter, because we had shared this food together, it was like we were a community. And so, friends, we share meals together to remind ourselves that we're all guests at the Lord's table. And we eat together with all of God's children who may be strangers to us, but they are not strangers to God. We're bound together by our common bond in Christ. We are all guests at the table. And this table we talk about is not a restaurant. We don't go and place our order and pay for our own meal. We can't make a reservation at Open Table 3 days before and say, yes, I have two for communion and old first. It doesn't work that way. No, you're invited not because you deserve to be here and not because we're worthy and not because we have something great to contribute. We're here because God knows we're hungry not only for food but for something that only the bread of God can satisfy. We come with a spiritual hunger longing for nourishment from the bread of life. And we come as guests. And we're seated with people whom we would never be at table with. Folks that if we were outside, we may try not to look at if they sit next to us on the bus. Probably never have into our house strangers. But to God, they're already family. And so maybe the fear of the stranger turns into the love of the stranger. That's what we hope in this communion meal. That an atmosphere of hospitality will come into us. And such transformation comes because of the host. I mean, this is the Lord's table. Christ is our host. And that's where we learn this new hospitality. We talk about peace, far off and near, brought together. And Lord knows in this world today, we need a little more peace. I kind of want to make the Democrats and the Republicans sit down to six meals with each other and not be able to talk politics. Because when you know someone, when you are connected to them, then you can talk. And I don't know what's happened, that we have become so much us and them and nothing in between. We need a common table for people to sit at. And again, for as much as we're guests, we're also hosts. And as your members, your elders, and your deacons hold that cup and that wine, they are hosts to you, and you are hosts to each other. Do you know the privilege of being a host? If you volunteered at the Saturday meals, or you come on Tuesday, or you come on Saturdays, like next Saturday when you're going to sign up and come, the host is fed. And all at once you realize the one you're giving the food to is giving a gift to you. It's how it all kind of circles around together. And at this communion meal, we say, in remembrance of me, in remembrance of Christ. And that remembrance word is really interesting. It doesn't mean just, I'm going to kind of remember when I think about it, or a passing thought. Remembrance is active. It means actively having that memory, that knowledge of Christ who is the host, come into you. It means that kind of power that breaks down walls. It's that active remembrance. And so it's a full circle at this table. Jesus is not only our host, but Jesus is the guest. And in some ways, Jesus is also the stranger. I mean, this heavenly meal is a foretaste of what is yet to come. And so when you come up and you take this communion meal today, I want you to picture someone in your heart, in your mind, that you would not want to sit at your table. And this is someone you know. Someone that you have a grievance for. Someone that you have caused the grievance for. and imagine them sitting at the table next to you because God is the host. And then I want you to imagine the world bigger than you can imagine. And if you're 9, it may be Hawaii or New Zealand or Syria or Ethiopia or Scotland. And I want you to imagine God's love big enough for this whole world. So you bring that to the table and come with your hunger. Come, if you don't have any hunger of God, come and ask for God to give you a bit of appetite for more than you're breathing and living now. Come, for Christ says the table is set and there is enough for everyone. May we eat today a little bit of bread, drink a little bit of wine, and remember that Christ invites us here. And there is enough grace, enough forgiveness, enough hope, enough peace for all of God's children. May it be so today. Amen.